I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. It has been a week.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, it's been the week of the LA fires. And, you know, luckily we're both safe and both of our houses are safe. But of course, that's not the case for so many people. So it's been a very somber week. A lot of just watching the Watch app to see, like, I'm looking at it now and the fires are still going as of, you know, recording this. So it's pretty scary.
It is.
Did you ever get evacuated?
Well, and you know what I was thinking? So we got an evacuation warning and we were actually recording when I got the warning for us. Mm-hmm. And it's so loud and so jarring. I think we all kind of screamed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got an evacuation warning, which means you basically need to pack up and just be ready for the go order. Mm-hmm. So I do have a suitcase that's still packed and ready. And I did pack up the car. And then we just waited. And then I think 36 hours later or so, the evacuation order the warning was lifted. But then we had like a little reprieve of no winds, but then there was scheduled like another like crazy, like critical wind situation. So I just stayed packed and I've been packed for like, I don't know, 5 days now or something like that, ready to go. And if you guys are wondering what the heck am I wearing, mm-hmm. I wanted to see your thoughts on this because it is something that our merch people sent us. And I was like, no at first. And I think Holly, you were like, no at first too. It's kind of growing on me. I don't know. But I thought I'll just wear it and see what everybody thinks.
See what happens.
Yeah, you guys can give me your opinion on it. But now that I've said what it is, I'll take it down and be humble. Yeah. So it's been a crazy week. It's a lot of watching the news and, like you said, watching that app and seeing what's happening. And I know several people who have lost their homes. I know people who have lost their business.
Yeah.
And it's beyond words, really.
I know. I'm so one of the first things I heard about going down was the Real Inn that I know, like, your friends own that. It's a family owned business. And it's this really cute, like, surf shack type restaurant that's on the PCH in Malibu. And it has this cute little sign, you know, and it has this punny title. It's spelled R-E-E-L-I-N-N. And it has a little neon of like a fish on a fishing hook. And it's just like the cutest place. And I really hope they're able to rebuild.
I hope so too. I'm not so sure about that, but I hope so too. It's just crazy how many, you can't even wrap your mind around how many houses are gone. And it's not just, as most of you should know, it's not just the Palisades. It's also Altadena and Pasadena area that's been, you know, lost so much. And honestly, a lot of the historic homes were in that Altadena area that burned down. And it's so sad.
Yeah, people were saying like 10,000 homes or something.
Not to mention the people that have lost their lives. And I feel like even though it's like, I think the toll right now, and they're not done going through everything and things are still burning. Mm-hmm. But I think the total right now is like 25 people have passed away. And I think too, like for us, our evacuation warning was like a few days into the fire. And you already have time, and almost, I think everybody in LA, and now everybody everywhere should be thinking about this. Mm-hmm. But like, what goes in your go bag? Like, what would you pack? And I think that if nothing else, if there's any silver lining, that I think that it made people in LA like think about that. Because mm-hmm. we're told this all the time, and not even for fires, but for earthquakes.
Yeah.
And stuff like, have a go bag ready, like have this ready, know what you're going to take and everything. And I know I'm always like, yeah, okay, I'll get to that, whatever. Like, I think we have some extra water and maybe some like earthquake food rations or something somewhere mm-hmm. in here. But like, I never, and that was like from COVID type stuff.
Yeah.
I never really like had like a bag actually packed or anything like that. But now I'm like, it's so important to be like ready to go, because you don't know if you're going to have 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days or what, you know?
Yeah, it's true. You know, we were recording last week and you can hear it on our Patreon, I think, we got evacuated because everybody who works at the studio had to evacuate. And luckily, everybody's safe and their homes are safe. But, you know, we were evacuated from there. And then I was planning on coming back to Vegas anyway. And I just went to my house, and my house is in the Hollywood Hills. And at the time, a fire had just broke out near Runyon Canyon, which is like right across the freeway from me. So I just grabbed like a duffel bag of stuff, and I picked like my most, whatever I thought my most valuable or my most irreplaceable stuff is, like stuff that probably should have gone in a safe deposit box anyway. And, you know, I grabbed like all like the kids' memorabilia and stuff like that and put it in my car and left. And, you know, I got into Vegas late that night. This was like last Wednesday. And I was just looking at the app and watching the fires and just kind of like coming to terms with like, my house might not be there next time I go, you know, and it's such a trip to think about because it's so devastating, obviously, to lose like your home and your shelter. But I think about when people lose all their stuff too, like that's going to be years from now, you'll catch yourself thinking, oh, I need such and such outfit or such and such thing. And then you no, I lost it all. Like that's got to be so insane to have to deal with, you know, like it's something that, you know, years later, you'd still be dealing with the repercussions, even if lucky enough to kind of bounce back and rebuild.
Well, I think depending on how much time you have and how well you thought it out, it could be a lifetime of memories that you lost, you know, pictures and, you know, like you said, kids' art or things from your parents or grandparents or anything. You can't, that's the thing, you can't pack up everything, not in that amount of time. Like you fit what you can in your car. And go.
Yeah.
And if you have kids and pets and stuff, like obviously that's the priority, or older adults that are living with you, those are the priority. So you got to get the people out, and then everything else is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, totally.
When we got evacuated from the studio last week and we were leaving, I pulled out onto the main road and there was literally huge fires all around us. And I don't mean like flames like encroaching on me, but I mean every direction I turned, there were giant plumes of smoke in every direction. And it just looked like, I mean, it just looked like no matter which way I went, I'm going right into the fire. I'm heading right in that direction.
Yeah, it was scary. There was a time when people were posting the app they were looking at and they're like, okay, I'm in the valley right now. And I'm like surrounded. Because these fires were just everywhere. There were major fires like in all directions.
It still is crazy, but it's just really kind of unbelievable. And then the one that was closest to my house, the one that I had an evacuation warning over, was arson.
Oh, yeah. I saw there were a bunch of arsonists arrested.
They're still arresting arsonists. I mean, people are like getting a kick out of this. And the last one I saw that they just arrested, the person was like, I just like the smell of burning leaves.
What?
That's what they told the cops when they were being arrested.
That person has to be severely mentally impaired, I would think.
I mean,
what?
Yeah.
That kind of thing should carry the heaviest penalty. Like you're affecting and possibly murdering so many people. And these people got to know what they're doing because, you know, every 2 or 3 years this happens in California. Like we know how bad these fires are. This is like the worst one, obviously, but we've always kind of known it was like coming to this in some way. So hopefully, you know, we can bounce back better prepared.
You know, what's sad, too, is some of the misinformation that's out there. Like people were posting the Hollywood sign, like being on fire all around.
Oh, my God.
I had to text you because that's so close to your house.
Yeah.
I had to text you and be like, there's like these Instagrams going around with the Hollywood sign burning. Don't believe it because I know you aren't home anymore and you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
You're seeing that. You're probably going, what the hell?
Yeah, no, I saw that and I posted about it on TikTok. I'm like, you guys, it is not helpful to post that. Like there are people who live right by that sign, like right underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Like,
totally just making that stuff up. And that, yeah, like you said, it's not helpful. Like,
no, not at all.
We have enough going on. Nobody needs to worry about that or see false information like that. And there's so much false information out there, too, about other things that I don't even want to get into because some of it gets political and stuff like that. But like, there's just so much false information. Like, don't fall for all of it.
Yeah, 100%. It's so much. So this year is off to an interesting start. Like I haven't lost my faith. I'm very optimistic. But yeah, with the fires and then like the TikTok ban, I'm so bummed about. And I haven't been sleeping that well lately because like it's supposed to be going away in a couple days. And I it's my favorite app. And I've had this rule for years, ever since it came out, that I can't scroll right before bed because it just like will affect your sleep and you'll lose like 2 hours without even realizing it because you're just lost in the sauce. But I've been indulging lately because I'm like, well, it's going to go away so you can scroll. And I've just been sleeping like absolute shit. So I'm back on the no scrolling rule.
Yeah.
But I'm so bummed it's going away because no other app like matches up. Like I can't explain, like the algorithm just isn't, it's not it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I never started an account because there was always this jeopardy of it going away. And I was just like, oh, I don't want
to waste the time investing.
Yeah. And then, but then I was like, oh, it's not going away. I mean, it's been around for a while now. There's no way it's going away, but I guess it is going away.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, part of me like doesn't want to believe it. Like this seems like the most serious threat. But every year or so for the past couple of years, it's been like, oh, TikTok is going away and everybody's making their sad goodbye videos and stuff.
I feel like at the last second, somebody's going to swing in there and save the day. And it's going to be like, oh, no, it was never going away, blah, blah, blah. But they don't have a lot of time to do that and make whatever changes are needed, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we shall see. It's going to be an interesting year. So should we go back in time to a more peaceful era?
Yeah.
When the biggest thing in our mind was who to put in our top 8.
Yes.
Let's get into it. Playmate of the Year, part 1.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. We are getting into one of the Playmate of the Year episodes today.
Yes, I was so confused by this episode. First of all, for some reason, I just looked at the things wrong and I started reviewing a totally different episode. And then I messaged you something about it. And you're like, wait, but that one's not for like 3 more episodes. And I was like, ah.
Yeah. Is it because is the order different on the DVD than it is?
It wasn't that this time. That has happened to me before, but that wasn't it this time. I just looked at it wrong. Like it for some reason. Hearts of Fire and Family Affair, like it just looked the same to me at first glance. And so I went to the one after it. So this is actually like the one I was started to review was 3 episodes ahead. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, what? And then I realized it was a Playmate of the Year episode. I'm like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. And I was really confused because Playmate of the Year is obviously after what I'm looking, like the one I was doing was Hef's birthday, which is April, and Playmate of the Year is not till May. So I'm like, this makes no sense. And I was like freaking out. But then I was like, oh, it's not really Playmate of the Year. It's like gearing
the pre,
up.
The pre.
Okay, so now I'm back on track. I'm back. I'm on target.
Season 3 is a little weird, too, because I think the original season 3 finale was supposed to be Home Sweet Sweet, where we go to Vegas for Hef's birthday. And then after that, we have the Bedtime Story special, which we have to review that. I hate it so much. We have to review that. And then there's like 4 more episodes or so after that for like the end of season 3. It's all very strange. And that's why you were having the meltdown with the Ryan Seacrest show that one time, right?
Yes, because we were done shooting. Well, we weren't done shooting, but we knew like we had exactly how many episodes. Home Sweet Sweet was going to be the last one. And they were adding on a whole bunch more, but they didn't want to call it a new season. They were just going to tack it on to this season, even though there was going to be a break in between.
Yeah.
They were just going to like tack it on to this season and don't want to pay us anything more. And I was like, well, then we should get a raise though. Like we should get more money per episode. And they were like, no. And I lost my shit because that's when I found out like officially we weren't going to get it. Like I was waiting and stuff. And then they were like, no, we're not going to do that. And I was like, how dare you guys?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's very sneaky to just keep adding episodes onto a season instead of calling it a new season.
Because with a new season, everybody can regroup and renegotiate.
Yeah. But when you're just adding it on, they're like, well, this is still part season 3. And you've already agreed to season 3. And
like
blah,
piecemeal
blah.
Here and there.
And then all of a sudden it's like 15 episodes or 16 episodes and you only agreed to 8.
Yeah.
And we had no contracts or anything like that. So it's not like we can say, well, the contract only said 8 episodes. This is all just like word of mouth. And
yeah, that's wild that we didn't sign contracts until the last season. Like we're three seasons deep, like we're doing all this other ancillary stuff and no contract.
And it's a hit show.
Yeah.
I know E! Wanted us on contract big time because I remember they kept, you know, arguing about it. Mm-hmm. They were so worried that like, because there's nothing keeping us there either.
Except a bunch of mental manipulation that they didn't realize how strong that was.
Yeah. But Hef was refusing the contract. Like mm-hmm. the contract was with him and Playboy and like not us individual girls.
Yeah.
And that also goes to him believing that the show is about him and whoever 100%. His girls are. So these girls are replaceable. So why do they need to be under contract?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want them under contract because one, it makes them look like his girlfriends are there as employees. Mm-hmm. And two, what if he wants to change the girlfriends?
Yeah, totally.
So that was the whole point of that.
So let's jump in our grotto time machine.
I don't know why I feel like it goes underwater.
I know, like a submarine. So this episode first aired on May 6th, 2007, which is like right around the time the Playmate of the Year ceremony would have been happening, like the payoff.
Yeah, probably that night.
And it must have been
that weekend.
Yeah. Anyway. And it must have been timed like that specifically because Playboy never announced who the Playmate of the Year was early. Like it was supposed to be announced when that issue came out. So they wouldn't have wanted this episode to come out any earlier. The top song at the time was Makes Me Wonder by Maroon 5. And the top movie was Spider-Man 3. Huh. Mm-hmm. So this episode's called PMOY Not. In case you guys don't know, PMOY stands for Playmate of the Year. It's all about Playmate of the Year, but it's kind of the first time. I mean, maybe it was like this a little bit in season one where it's told to us that we're going to be in a pictorial and later we see the pictorial. But this is really the first time we're doing a whole episode that like leads on to like this, what will be the season finale, like kind of preps us for that. This is all about like finding out who gets Playmate of the Year and getting to know the girls who are in competition for it. Because in season two, we did the whole episode where we did the slumber party for Kara Monaco. And I was really disappointed that they didn't get to know Kara at all on the show, because then it doesn't mean anything to the viewer when she gets it. Like, we care because we know we're in Lover, but why is the viewer supposed to care?
Yeah.
So if I remember correctly, I think this episode was my idea. Like, we should really get to know who the candidates are. Like, maybe the three of us girls could each take somebody out. And then in the end, you find out who wins. And around this time also, because I look back in my day planner, I was having meetings with Kevin about potentially doing a show that was kind of like America's Next Top Model, but for Playmate candidates. And we didn't end up going ahead with it because the network decided that the prize of being a Playmate wasn't big enough for anybody to be excited about it. So we didn't end up doing it. But I'm glad we didn't. I've said this before, but like, I'm glad we didn't, just because you look back at America's Next Top Model and see how problematic so much of it was and how unhappy so many of the candidates are that came out of it.
Yeah.
If not all the candidates. I have yet to hear from somebody who's glowing about their experience.
Yeah. Do you think though that we really got to know the girls in this?
Well, I think for what kind of a show this is, I think it was okay. I think of course it could have been better, but I think based on like the output I've seen from the show so far, I think they did an okay job. Hmm. What do you feel is lacking?
Well, I think I'll get into it as the episode goes on, but I just don't feel like we really got to know the girls still. Like that was the point of this episode. And I would have loved for that to be, maybe we know a couple more things about them than we knew about Kara, but I don't feel like we know very much about the girls.
You know what? That's a really good point now that I think about it, because you're right. They're not being interviewed in confessional, which I think would have helped really have the viewers get to know the girls a lot more if they would have had confessional interviews pop in and the girls could talk about their hopes and dreams and why this is important to them and where they come from, rather than just kind of being accessories in our scenes.
I feel like I barely know where they're from after watching this whole episode.
Right?
Like, I'm like, wait, did they even tell them? I guess a little bit.
And clearly they did do a sit-down confessional with Sarah, because you see a clip of it at the end, but it's just Sarah talking about how excited she was to get it. There's no like precursor, like getting to know who these girls are.
Yeah. I'm actually disappointed in the episode as far as like getting to know the girls. And especially, well, I'll get into it. Especially one.
And I always really liked doing these episodes. One of the reasons I want to do this episode is for some reason, and I'm trying to figure out why this is, but for some reason, I really liked doing episodes where other Playmates were involved and we get to know the other Playmates. And I'm like, was that just because of my job and me being so like enthusiastic about the Playmates and who they were? Or was it because I was kind of shy, and I felt like I would rather interact through supporting somebody else than just, let's do a scene all about me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious why that was.
I think both of those things are probably true, but I also think, too, it was because the writing was on the wall with Kendra, too. So we're trying to get new people, find new people, new somebody who might fill in, multiple people that might fill in. I think even if it wasn't explicitly said yet, I think that was kind of like everybody sort of knew that was happening.
The world needed to be broadened.
Yeah. And if the show were to continue on, we need to like have a lot of other people in it.
Which we would do more explicitly later down the road. Like in seasons 4 and 5, you can really see, just like we saw in the Valentine's episode where Kendra's trying to show like, oh, here's my family and my friends. This is what my spinoff could be. There's episodes later, which I wasn't even aware that this was the reason at the time because nobody ever wanted to inform me what their plan was. But like we had Spencer Scott be my assistant at the studio, but I didn't need an assistant studio. It was more to like, let's try her out as a character because, you know, when the show went on to just be about me and Hef and the girls at the studio, which I was never informed of, that was just kind of their plan. They wanted to see like who else, who's going to be like the supporting cast and stuff. And then of course in season 5 too, there was that time period where we were explicitly asked to find more people that might take Kendra's place because they thought she was going to leave even earlier than she did. So the first scene is we go to the Palm restaurant, and it was a very staged and purposeful scene. And we say in commentary that Hef didn't want to do this scene really. Like, obviously, he wasn't so anti that he canceled it because he had the power to do that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like making speeches, and they wanted him to say, so you girls know there's going to be a big decision coming up for Playmate of the Year, which is nothing he would have done in real life.
Right.
Like, he knew, everybody knew Playmate of the Year was coming up and everybody was anticipating it. So he didn't want to do that speech, but also they made him do 2 takes of it. So he was not excited.
But they needed him to set the stakes for what this all means and how important it is and how big it is in the Playboy world and stuff. And really, there's nobody that can do it except for him.
He announces that Playmate of the Year is going to be chosen perhaps from amongst the people at this table because we have 4 of the candidates are living across the street at the Playmate house. And I was thinking what a unique situation this must have been because I'm trying to think through the years. Was there ever, I mean, obviously, you know, the Playmates know each other from Playmate promotions and maybe some of them were staying in the guest house at the same time when they were shooting their pictorials. So they kind of know each other, but I wonder if there was any other time in Playboy history where the girls were that close. Like 4 of them are roommates.
Yeah.
Some of them probably even consider themselves best friends and they're kind of competing against each other.
Yeah.
Like the only time I can think of where maybe that was a thing was like the late 70s. Cause I know a lot of the Playmates were like kind of like unofficial girlfriends and like, but even when I was thinking back to like the original 7 girlfriends, when a lot of them were being made Playmates, most of those women like moved out the second their pictorial came out. So it's not like anybody was really like in the same house when time came to vie for that title.
Interesting.
Speaking of the 70s, we're reviewing this book on our Patreon right now called The Dark Secrets of Playboy that's written by a butler who was there during the late 70s, early 80s. And it is wild.
Yeah.
So much crazy dirt. So the next scene is back at the mansion. It looks like a late night shot, but I think it's actually very, very early morning. And it shows some of my dogs running around in front of the house. It shows Archie opening the door by himself, which is a moment. I think they've shown this in the show before, and it's a moment.
I feel like that, too.
That I love that they've caught on camera because it was just such a real life thing that I would have forgot about otherwise, that Archie could open the door on his own. And we're talking about it in commentary and how like, oh, this looks super early. Like maybe it was the day we left for Lodi. And Kendra mentioned something about not having a curfew anymore. And you kind of chime in. And I was like, wait, we didn't have a curfew?
No, I think that because she was just allowed to kind of, I think there was still technically a curfew, but she's out doing club appearances and she's getting to go to do other things. I mean, I don't know when it started, but there's a point in time where, because none of us are going to the club anymore with Hef. And so there's a point in time where she's just like, I need to go out and I need the limo. And Hef started just letting her go out to the club. Not by herself. Yeah. She had security with her and she was with a Hef limo and she would take girls from the mansion and stuff, but she would just like start going out. So I'm not sure when we're doing commentary, but I'm but it's usually like 6 months later or so. So I would assume that that has already started by then, by commentary time, not necessarily when this is happening, but yeah, when commentary is happening.
So the first scene after the cold open is it shows you and I going down to the office to talk to Norma. And I'm so thrown off because it's pitch black. So it must have been like, I know we were filming this in January, like the dead of winter, and it was getting dark by like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So I was like, why would we be in the office and why would Norma be there
at night
in the dark? Yeah.
Well, the office is closed at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so
must have been like a 5:30.
Yeah, we must have went down there at 5:30.
But the reason they have us go down and talk to Norma about it is this scene is supposed to illustrate to the viewer how secretive the Playmate of the Year selection process is. And I say in confessional, a very distinct time of year around the mansion is when they announce PMOY. Well, they didn't really announce it until May when the issue came out. But leading up to it, you know, there's a good 5 month period of time when the girl is chosen. But it was weird because you'd think us living with Hef, like the second it's chosen, he'd like tell us and we'd get all excited. But no, it was kept secret. Like even from me, like I usually knew who the Playmate of the Year was just by snooping or overhearing something. But we wouldn't really find out usually until like, oh, all of a sudden, one of the girls from last year is back and she's in the guest house shooting something. And she was under strict orders not to really tell anybody. And I was thinking back, you know, to my time there and like how people knew. Like the first year I was there, Daylene got Playmate of the Year. And that year, everybody thought Shayna Mokler was going to get it because she had been like a Miss USA and she like had been with Oscar De La Hoya. So like in the Playmate world, that's like a celebrity. So everybody thought it was going to be her. But then at the last minute, like the readers poll came in so strong for Daylene that they had both of those girls go in and do like shoots. And then they had like a whole debate over who should get it. So there was like gossip going around, but like Hef would never confirm really until like the last minute. So it was all very, very secretive.
Yeah. And then who was Playmate of the Year after that? Was that the
Christina Santiago? Yeah. And one of the reasons she got it was so many people that year were taken out of the running because that was like the great sex worker scandal.
Yeah.
Because there was a escort agency that a lot of Playmates were working for and Hef didn't like that and didn't approve of it and didn't want like the Playboy and the Playmate name used in the underground marketing that went on for this. So and at the time, like all the Playmates were being flown to Turkey. Like that was the hot spot.
Yeah.
And anybody who's in the running for Playmate of the Year had to show Pat Lacey, the Playmate Promotions Director, their passport. And if they had a stamp from Turkey, they were not eligible.
Yeah.
And I remember the girl who was like in the running called me like panicked. And I was like, there's nothing I can do about it. Like I'm rooting for you, but there's nothing I can do. Like they need to see your passport.
Yeah.
And she was trying to get out of it and she didn't end up getting picked. And
I remember her trying to get out. I remember her saying, my mom has it mm-hmm. and my mom lives in a different state.
Yeah.
I don't even have my passport. And they were like, we'll have her send it to you.
Yeah. I wonder if you could have said, oh, I've never had a passport, if they would believe that.
I don't know. I don't know what it would have happened.
Yeah. And then the next one was Carmela. And I think you knew because you were close to Carmela.
Yeah.
So she told you. And after that, it was Tiffany Fallon. I think everybody kind of knew Tiffany Fallon was like, everybody thought she was going to be Playmate of the Year. She was kind of one of those ones that was like pre-chosen in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of knew. And then, you know, Kara got it in 2006. And by that point, we were more like in with the Playmates where we just kind of knew and
yeah.
we didn't need Hef to tell us. But before it was just like whispers and secrecy and gossip and nobody could confirm or deny.
I feel like from Carmela on, I was like in the loop mm-hmm. somehow.
Yeah. On another note, with all the secrecy and stuff, is Hef doesn't tell or nobody tells the other girls in the running that they're not getting it. So it's not like Playmate of the Year's chosen and all the other candidates are called. And so, you know what? Sorry, it's not
right.
going to be you.
Yeah.
Or if they're calling,
I didn't even
they're
think
not
about that.
Told it's not going to be you because they want to so keep a secret who it is, which was another really unique thing about this year is this year, obviously, there's going to be at least three girls who are finding out firsthand that it's not them. And that never happened before. And you know, of course, people would realize as time went on that they didn't get it. And in the past, we would see girls who were like coming out with us all the time and trying to be friendly. They would drop off the second they found out they didn't get it. And there was no subtlety to it at all.
Yeah.
Like if that were me, I'd kind of feel bad. Like if I were like kissing ass trying to get Playmate of the Year and I didn't get it, like I'd at least do a taper off because I would feel so like obvious and stupid.
Yeah.
If you were just going to drop off like that. But some people had no shame and they just dropped off and you never saw them again.
Yeah.
You know what a Playmate told me? This was after we left, but there was one year that for Playmate of the Year, there was a girl who was like always up there and always doing everything. She really wanted to be Playmate of the Year. And then one night they were all like playing cards and Playmate of the Year had been chosen. It was somebody else. And I guess Hef straight up said to this girl, okay, so now that you're not Playmate of the Year, you don't need to be coming around here anymore, do you? Like called her out.
Oh my God.
Jaw on the floor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I talk about how there's 12 girls in the running for Playmate of the Year, but the four that live right across the street are like the top candidates, Monica, Allison, Sarah, and Janine, and then they show footage of each of them. When I am rattling off the girls that live next door and they show some footage, there's one footage of Sarah with an American flag, and in commentary, you're like, oh, my God, they told me that was taboo. We weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, well, I was already working at the studio full time at that point. And one of the Spencer Scott pictures, I guess, had like an American flag in the background. And one of the editors from Chicago told me I needed to have that retouched out because it was like disrespectful to the flag, I guess, to have like a naked woman next to the flag, which I think America's all about naked women.
I think so too.
What's disrespectful about that? But it shows Sarah naked with like a full flag wrapped around her. And I'm like, why does she get to do it? And I don't.
Yeah.
So inconclusive.
Yeah. And we kind of are talking about like what we think each girl brings to the table and stuff. We think that Monica has like the best pictorial and that she just has like a very like celebrity face, like almost
a famous face.
Yeah. Like you
like
recognize
a face
her.
That's not just pretty, but like speaks to you. You feel like you know her.
Yeah. And I really do feel that way about
me too,
Monica. Like 100%. I feel like when you look at her, you're like, I know this girl. Uh-huh. And then Allison was like totally the most educated. She had a master's degree in gerontology, which I thought was so strange.
She was like the pageant perfect one, like the one who was like super articulate and super educated and like
would be a great representative as far as like speaking engagements and that kind of press and all that stuff. And we're talking about how Janine is that her body is out of control.
Yeah, super hot.
Like really beautiful. And that she is on the cover of Vanity Fair and she was famous in Germany.
In Germany.
Yeah, the Vanity Fair. And that she was already famous in Germany and she'd already been Playmate of the Year in Germany as well. So that's what she brought to the table.
Do you think, because I know we're talking her up because we want to be like fair and good to everybody who's living at the other house and she's treated like she's just as much as a candidate as other people. But do you think she was in the running as much as the other three in real life?
I'm trying to remember how I felt then versus how I feel now because I was really rooting for Janine. Mm-hmm. I know that. But I know, and I know that I knew this then, that girls who weren't from the U.S. probably are not going to get Playmate of the Year because the whole visa situation is too difficult to deal with and expensive. And Playboy doesn't want to deal with all of that.
Yeah. For some reason, Playboy could get away with having a model come in and shooting her Playmate of the Month content without getting them a visa. But for Playmate of the Year, and I guess all the work you'd have to do throughout the year, you would have to get a work visa. It was like too expensive, too difficult, too something for Playboy to really want to do. Not that they wouldn't ever do it.
Right.
And that's supposedly the reason Pamela Anderson didn't get it is she was Canadian and they didn't want to do the work visa thing. And also Hef had told me that because people would always ask him, like, why wasn't Pamela Playmate of the Year? And he said it was because that was the year that the Gulf War started and they thought it would be like unpatriotic to not pick an American.
Oh, yeah. I think you mentioned that before.
And then the next year, Jade would get it. But Jade already had a work visa. She already had that. Like, Playboy didn't have to get it for her. So I kind of knew Janine wasn't really in the running. But we want to be supportive and, like, build her up. And that's nothing against, like, what she looks like or her personality. Like, she's amazing. But they just usually didn't give Playmate of the Year to non-Americans.
So I 100% knew that at the time. So I had to know that that was, like, against her and everything. But I feel like I was still really rooting for her. Like, I wanted her to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk at all about the drama behind the scenes and who we think was gunning for it versus who wasn't? Which, of course, like, we can't speak for any of those women. Like, nobody knows what they're actually thinking, but just from what we've heard and what we gather.
There was a lot of, like, rumors and stuff.
We had Sarah Underwood on last year, and if you guys listened to that episode, you already know some of it. But, like, Sarah kind of didn't really think she was in the running. Of course, everybody wants it, but she didn't really think she was in the running. I guess everybody thought Allison was going to get it, and she really wanted it. Did Sarah say Janine was more nonchalant about it?
I want to say she said she was more nonchalant about it, but I didn't get that feeling.
Some rumor that she had moved to the bunny house specifically because she wanted Playmate of the Year or something?
I felt like Janine really wanted it and really was pushing. I mean, without asking her, I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I thought she definitely was wanting it. And it was one of the reasons that she was living at that other house.
Yeah. And with Monica, obviously we knew she wanted it as much as anybody else. But I thought she was just kind of like here nor there, like not wanting it any more than like the average person would want it. But then supposedly Monica was like the most aggressive about it. And people kind of thought she was hanging out with Kendra for the purpose of like kissing ass for Playmate of the Year, that went way over my head. I'm not arguing with it or saying it's not true. I think maybe other people who lived with her would know better. And I've certainly never talked to Monica about it. She's the only one who really knows. But that went straight over my head. Like, I always thought her and Kendra had a genuine relationship, and I never knew that.
It's interesting because I feel like Monica she never seemed like the type of person to me that really was that pushy with anything. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I feel like she just gave the vibe that she was just chill and, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, of course she wants it, but, like, wasn't, like, vying or, like, mm-hmm. being competitive or anything like that. So when I heard that too, I was like, whoa, no way. Monica was the most pushy of all of them. I definitely felt like Allison thought she should get it and thought she was going to get it. Like, I think she thought she was the front runner, and for good reason.
Yeah.
I think Janine is, and I don't know for sure, but I think she's like I think she's a very competitive person. And I feel like she was definitely pushing for it. Even though Sarah said not so much, but I felt like she was.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I definitely think Sarah wanted it. And I definitely think Sarah was, you know, positioning herself for it too. I understand how she feels like she didn't think she was going to get it, but I still think everybody was positioning.
And I say in commentary that I kind of had a hint that Sarah might get it because we all had websites through the CMG management company, and we had fan clubs, and I would do like a weekly chat with people in the fan club. And when I would say, oh, who do you guys want for PMOY? Everybody would always say Sarah. But I kind of took it with a grain of salt because, like, she's also a blonde from the Pacific Northwest. So I thought, well, maybe we have like certain fans in common or something. But that was kind of my first clue that she was going to be really popular.
Yeah. And then you talk about, again, the prizes that they get.
Yeah.
Like, just to show, like, how big this is. The big press luncheon in their honor, $100,000, a car, a motorcycle, a new pictorial in the magazine, possibly the cover. So there's a lot at stake for it. So you can see why people would want it. And then I even say, if I just being told that you get Playmate of the Year, like, I don't even know how that would make you feel. Like, I just get goosebumps thinking about it.
Norma's being very politically correct and not saying who her favorite is. And then they do this funny edit where Norma goes, we need someone who can speak well. And the record scratches. And I go, I don't know if that matters too much.
Yeah.
But I think that has to be an edit because I knew that that did matter for PR purposes. And that's something that's important to me in a Playmate of the Year. So I think it was just a funny edit. And I say that we want to get to know the girls better, so we're taking them out, which is kind of BS. Like, we already know the girls. This is more for, like, the viewers. Like, let's show the viewers who you are. And then it starts with you taking Janine to the German restaurant. And this restaurant was a personal favorite of Kevin's. It's the Red Lion Inn in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
So he suggested that for you guys.
Yeah. So she's from Germany. So, and I have German heritage. So what better thing to go bond over? And I hate this.
I know, it's bad.
It's the food thing to a whole other level.
Yeah.
We don't know one thing about Janine after watching this whole scene.
That's true.
Not one fucking thing.
Yeah, they just kind of make her look snobby because they play off the food thing. Like, they make it look like you're so excited about the food. And they cut to her being like, yeah, I'm not really hungry. And they try and make it look like she's being judgy toward you for eating, which I'm sure was not the case.
It was not the case.
But that's how it's cut.
In fact, she was all about the drinks and drinking me under the table. She was ordering Jaeger and beer. And like, we were having a great time. They cut all of that out. And it's just me eating, eating. All we know is German food. We know about schnitzel. We know about spätzle. We know about bratwurst.
Yeah.
And I wonder what's on the dessert menu.
Yeah. It's too much.
It's like ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. The whole point of this was to get to know Janine a little better. And they don't say one thing about her. I don't even know what city she's from.
That's true.
From watching this.
It's crazy. They like missed the whole point on that.
Of course, I would have wanted to dress up in like a dirndl or lederhosen or something for this. And I told Janine, we should totally dress up for this. And she was like, okay, I'm going to bring us stuff back from Germany. And I was so excited about it. She shows up with a t-shirt that says Berlin.
Oh, no. That's so funny.
Across from it. And I was like,
not what you're thinking.
What is this? What is this?
Yeah, you wanted a dirndl or something.
Yes, I absolutely wanted a dirndl.
And then it cuts to me on my golf cart with all my dogs yapping behind me. And it's cute because this episode, I think it's the first time you're seeing all three of us have a different like animated cut in between scenes that see us show us going somewhere. Like it shows you in your red Porsche with the mansion behind you before you go to the German restaurant. Shows me on my golf cart in front of the mansion with all the dogs yapping behind me. It's really cute. And it cuts to the Playmate house, which kind of reminds me of the Brady Bunch house from the back a little bit, just like the shape of it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And I say the two girls who are in the running who are really special to me are Allison and Sarah. And it was true. I just like them both so much. And even watching this back, like I really wish they could have been playmates in different years so they could have both got it. And my idea was to take the girls to Hooters because we all used to work there at different restaurants. Like I worked at the one in Santa Monica. Allison worked at the one in San Diego and Sarah in Oregon. So then we cut to a Kendra scene and you see Kendra in her Escalade, which is the third of the little like transportation animations we're giving.
So they go to the driving range, which is also very interesting because you do something that you have in common with the other girls. I do something that I have in common with the other girls. Monica's never hit a ball in her life, it sounds like, you know.
So it's weird because in Kendra's confessional, it says she first met Monica at her Cyber Girl shoot in Chicago. And that's such a big error that how did nobody catch that? Because in the episode where we go to Chicago, there was an episode before that where we're with Monica in New York.
Yeah.
So that's definitely not the first time Kendra met Monica. And the show should know that.
So it's just a fed line that she says and it's
and nobody checks on it. They just want to re-show the scene where we walk in on Monica naked.
They want to show the naked Monica scene. That's why.
But of course, we knew Monica from so far before then. And she was literally in the New York episode before that episode.
Yeah.
So that's weird. And they show the same old gag of Kendra missing the ball, missing the ball, missing the ball. And she's trying to teach Monica to golf and says she's the best teacher. But she really was a good teacher because there would be a time in season five. She takes me to the batting cages because we're doing that softball game. And I actually made progress. Like she's really good at breaking down the steps you need to do to like get good at something like that.
I just want to say, too, I didn't learn one thing about Monica. I didn't learn anything about her.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is so weird, this episode. God. Like, I started thinking this episode's just fucking weird now. Like, it went in with good intentions.
Yeah.
But now it's just weird.
Yeah, it's like they're missing the point, kind of. It's like, okay, yeah, we're doing the most by showing them going out doing activities together, but you're still not getting to know the girls.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
They're missing such a huge opportunity, and I just can't even understand how they wrap their heads around justifying it.
So then it shows me taking Allison and Sarah to Hooters. And I think my fashion choice is kind of interesting and like indicative of the time because it's like this gray pencil skirt, like a blue button up, one of those huge belts that was in style at the time, like knee-high socks, high-heeled penny loafers. It's very like 2007 businesswoman, but it reminds me of like the millennial business casual that everybody would wear out in like 2010. And like, it's 2007 right now, but you're starting to see like the switch from like the girly girl, Paris Hilton, Mick Bling era, to like, you're starting to see like the millennial business casual come in, and you're starting to see like that, I don't know if you want to call it edgier or whatever, but like the Ed Hardy, Affliction, kind of grungier looking Jersey Shore style. Like you're starting to see that like creep in a little bit.
Mm. Did Allison yell out, "I see breasts"?
Yeah. So we go into Hooters, we sit down, and the waitress comes over, and you hear this voiceover from Allison saying, "I see your breasts." And then they cut to the waitress looking at her like confused.
I was confused.
But I feel like it's so weird. I feel like Allison wouldn't have said that at that point. I feel like it was just like a weird Frankenbite voiceover to try and make like a funny, awkward moment. Cause I don't think she said that or would have said that. It's weird, especially since she worked at Hooters. Like, why is she going to go, "I see your breasts" to a Hooters waitress? Like, that's really weird.
The whole thing was weird.
Have you seen what the Hooters uniforms look like now?
No.
They're so skimpy.
Oh, really?
Like, I would have died because they're like crop tops now. And then the shorts aren't like the retro dolphin shorts. They look like underwear with like the band.
Oh.
It's like so skimpy.
Do they still wear the nylons and the scrunch socks? And
I didn't see like the scrunch socks. So sometimes I'll see like a reel or like a TikTok video. And I'm like, those outfits are so skimpy now. Because for me, like the saving grace was like, at least my stomach is covered. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I just say something Sarah does right here grosses me out?
Orders milk?
Yes.
Which is funny because it's just like she is so the wholesome all-American farm girl, and that just solidifies it. She orders a big old glass of milk. But you know what else is like a weird parallel is that Dark Secrets of Playboy book we're reading. Like he always describes Dorothy Stratton ordering milk or a milkshake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was that true? Or did she order that all the time? Or is he putting that there just to show how like small town wholesome she is? Like it seems like a device.
I feel like I don't know if it was like a device too, but I don't know either.
Interesting. I love Hooters food.
I do too. I know we've talked about it before, but like it's so good.
And you know, it's interesting because they're like known for their wings, but we would always get complaints about the wings. And I never ate the wings. It was always everything else, like the smothered chicken sandwich and the grilled cheese and like everything else on the menu, the desserts, everything. Like I never really ate the wings. So it's weird that like that's what they're famous for because I don't know if the wings are that good, but I love Hooters food. A fucking curly fry. Mm. And then I say, I worked at Hooters a million years ago. At this point, it had only been 6 years.
I fucking love this graphic.
Me too. It's so cute. It shows me in like the Flintstone era working at like a Flintstone Hooters. And it's so cute. And Kevin drew that himself.
Stop it.
Like as much as Kevin and I had so much drama, like as you guys know, there's certain things I'm nostalgic for and miss about our friendship. And he used to draw the cutest shit. He would draw me as Princess Jasmine for the unveilings episode too. He drew that himself. Isn't that cute?
The Flintstone. And they have like a pterodactyl or something coming.
Yes.
In. It's like,
yes, it's so
it's
cute.
So
like, I
cute.
Love that shit.
Wait, you were talking to the waitress and you're like, I worked here so long ago. There were only 5 sauces back then. What were they?
Oh, God, I don't even know because I'm watching this and I'm talking about how, oh, there were only 5 sauces and now there's like a million, but I can't even tell you what they were. I mean, I don't think they had really original names. I think it was like,
I don't think if I I could be wrong on this, but I don't feel like Hooters had crazy other flavors. I thought they had different degrees of buffalo sauce. So it was all buffalo sauce, but it was like mild, medium, hot, super hot, fire were like the 5. But I could be wrong on that.
And then they had like some kind of cheeky name for the extra hot that I don't remember what they were.
Yeah.
Like Atomic or something. I forget what it was, but
yeah,
it was something like that. But yeah, they only had like 5 flavors.
And those aren't really flavors. Those are just levels
like
of
degrees.
Hotness.
Yeah, totally. I was thinking because in this episode, you have women who are so close, like they're roommates and they're, you know, Sarah and Allison might have even described themselves as best friends at the time. I don't know. And they are kind of competing for this thing or they know one of them's going to get it. And that might be awkward. Have you ever had a situation where you felt like you were competing with a close friend for something?
Oh, gosh. This is one of those questions I need in advance.
Oh, right.
I feel like there's definitely something there, but nothing's coming to mind off the top of my head.
when I think about it, I think of like, even when it was Yumi and Kendra, I felt like we were either getting things like pictorials all together, or we were usually pretty careful about not stepping on each other's interests. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel like we were competing for anything, but I never really felt like we were competing for anything specific at all. Like anything Kendra would have wanted wouldn't have been in my wheelhouse, I feel.
Right.
And, you know, vice versa all around. But I feel like there was kind of a vibe, and but this isn't really the same because we didn't even like each other. We weren't really friends. But like in the Mean Girls era, I felt like there was this unspoken vibe that like everybody wanted to be in the magazine. And we all kind of knew that Hef wasn't going to put all of us in the magazine. So there was kind of like this strife in a way. It was kind of like vague and unspoken.
Well, when you first asked me, that's the first thing that came to mind, especially when Mary says stuff like, well, he can't put you in the magazine or Holly's going to be mad.
Right.
Like trying to like start that kind of drama or that kind of thought.
Or trying to deflect to anyone but Hef, who's the decision maker.
Mm-hmm. So that is one thought that came to mind. But that wasn't like really between you and I. That was somebody else trying to do it. But I know what you mean. But what pisses me off about that whole time frame is how everybody else was in such denial.
Well, I think we felt like we couldn't admit it, or Hef was going to be like, because I know there were times I brought it up and he would like throw a nuclear fit and be like, oh, that's all you're here for? You're just like everybody else. I was like, oh. And I mean, that was in private. So I don't know what the other girls had as far as experiences like that, or why they wouldn't say it. Or yeah. Maybe they just didn't want to be like embarrassed by like admitting it to the other girls and then they never get it, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was very obvious, at least to me, that everybody wanted it and just nobody was saying it. And it was this weird unspoken thing. And it's not even really the same comparison or fits with the question I asked, because we weren't friends with those people, but we were living under the same roof and we're all kind of like in an unspoken, vague way, like vying for this thing.
Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to think back, like even like before the mansion and way back and everything. And I feel like I always had a different path for everything than everybody else I knew.
Yeah.
Like nobody was trying to do Playboy that I knew of.
Yeah.
And nobody was trying until I came to the mansion, uh-huh. You know, nobody was trying to do pageants back when I was doing pageants. Mm-hmm. Not anybody. I mean, obviously I was competing against other people, yeah, that were trying to do them, but nobody that I knew or was friends with. Everybody, I always was like the strange one that was doing these weird things that everybody else was like no interest in doing or being a part of, or like, why is she doing that? Like, why would you go there? Why would you do that? Why would, you know, like that was strange and foreign to people from my small town, you know? And I always knew that I wanted something more than what was there. So I always felt like I was doing the most or the more or the crazy thing or the thing that everybody else was like, what? Where is she? Where is she going? What is she doing? Why? And they couldn't understand it.
Yeah. I was thinking back to when I worked at Hooters. It was a little bit like that, because they would have things like you could be in the Hooters calendar, or you could be in the Hooters magazine, or they would pick one girl from each store to compete in like the Hooters pageant. And there were kind of like three girls during the time I worked there that kind of got picked for everything. But when it came for the pageant, only one of us got picked. And it was this girl I was friends with. And of course, I was happy for her. But in a way, I was kind of like, maybe she'll get like a really big role from an audition and then she'll have something better and then she can't do it and then I can do it. Like I was trying to wish something better on her so I could do it. But then the next year, I was the one who was picked to do the pageant, but I had already moved into the mansion. Hef wouldn't let me do it and he told me to quit. Oh. Wah, wah. Oh, well, I don't think I really need to be in a Hooters pageant. But here we are.
But it's fun. I mean,
it was what I wanted at the time.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool at the time.
Yeah.
So there we are. So next week we are going to be talking about, I mean, you guys already know who's getting it, but like, I feel like there was
they
some.
They do? Don't tell.
I know. Spoiler alert. I hate how anal people are about spoiler alerts online. It's like, this movie's been out since 1939. You don't need a spoiler alert. You know what I mean? But yeah, we're going to. You know Sarah's going to get it. But there's like some drama with the how she gets it and stuff. So,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Right.
So we will see you guys next week. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.